some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
What's up? We are back. What's up, everybody? FTN DataCast, Adam Pfeiffer here. June 14th, June 15th. Hopefully you're listening to one of those 2 days as we continue our team preview series paired with our coaching and coordinating series of articles over at FTNFantasy.com. AFC West complete. Now we move on to the NFC West, and we will start with the San Francisco 49ers, a team that has been oh so close to the Super Bowl for a couple seasons now, multiple NFC title games, a trip where they were very close to winning the Super Bowl against Kansas City. And they've had a lot of different situations. I mean, you know, we'll talk about offensive, play calling, head coach Kyle Shanahan. That's remained the same, but they've had different quarterbacks in the past couple seasons, and it's been really fun to watch this offense. It's one of the most fantasy friendly and most quarterback friendly offenses in the entire NFL. And without further ado, let's get right into it. So Kyle Shanahan, obviously head coach, has been with the team since 2017. Let's start with the running game, right? We know what this team does. It's no secret. The wide zone, one of the most common concepts from this team. At their core, we know this team wants to run the football. They, since 2020, they are eighth in rush rate in neutral game scripts. And he has such an advantageous scheme. It's that wide zone, one cut and go. And we've seen three undrafted rookies thrive in it. Raheem Mostert, Matt Breida, Jeff Wilson, all have thrived in this scheme. They've had a different leading running back each of the past six seasons. And this scheme is, it definitely helps to have speed because you find the hole, make that one cut and you go to the outside. And it was interesting to see coming into this season, Mike McDaniel, who is the run game coordinator for this team for years, he's been following alongside Kyle Shanahan for his entire career, whether it's been Atlanta, what have you. But he was the run game coordinator for the San Francisco team over the past couple seasons. But it didn't really change. I mean, in 2021, about 60% of this team's rushing attempts came out of zone. That actually climbed to 70% this past season. Christian McCaffrey made his San Francisco debut in Week 7. He had 159 total carries from Week 7 until the end of the season. During that span, over 72% of his carries came out of the zone concept. And we saw it back in Atlanta. DeVonta Smith, he led our running backs in zone rushing attempts in 2015 with 206. A large percent of these runs also go to the outside. Elijah Mitchell 2 years ago, third in the NFL in outside runs with 64, despite only playing 11 games. Over 30% of his carries went to the outside. It's getting Trent Williams out on the edge and just absolutely creating massive running lanes for the running backs. You have to have pretty decent vision, but you hit the hole, you make one cut, and you go. I was very interested to see what would happen this season if Trey Lance was healthy, because in 2021, Trey Lance played meaningful snaps in three games. Just three games. But in those three games, he averaged 10.3 rushing attempts per game, 31 total rushes, but 19 were designed. So 19 of those rushes were designed. He ran the ball 8 times on 18 RPO plays. They were running a lot of these QB draws, QB power, putting Kyle Juszczyk in motion. We'll talk about pre-snap motion in a little bit. And then to start the season, granted week one of 2022 was a bit of an outlier. It was played in a freaking monsoon. But Trey Lance in that game had 13 rushing attempts, 9 of which were designed. And then in week two, Lance had 3 designed rushing attempts before leaving with the injury that ended the season. This was clearly going to be part of Shanahan's scheme with Trey Lance there. Of course, he had the ankle injury, didn't play the rest of the season. And then things kind of changed. And of course, there's always the aspect of using Deebo Samuel in the run game. whether it be kind of on the actually handing him the ball, you know, jet sweeps, reverses, or those little pop passes in motion. Samuel averaged just under 8 touches per game last season, 3.2 carries per game. They had, you know, I think 10 plays where both McCaffrey and Samuel were lined up in the backfield. So there's obviously a lot of that too. Then, of course, there's pre-snap motion. I've talked about it a ton. I think the teams that run the most pre-snap motion are the best offenses in the league. Maybe not the best in terms of scoring, but the smartest. I just think there's no reason not to, right? You're giving your best players free releases. You're letting the quarterback get a really good idea of if they're playing man or zone on the defense. And of course, Kyle Shanahan has been, you know, pre-snap motion has been a staple of Kyle Shanahan's offenses. In 2021, they utilized pre-snap motion on over 40% of their plays. This past season, it was at 50%, according to FTN data. Only team that ran more pre-snap motion, you guessed it, Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins. And it's not just like Debo or Kittle or Ayuk or McCaffrey. They'll use Kyle Juszczyk in motion, which I love. I love Kyle Juszczyk. We'll talk about him more later. So expect San Francisco to be second or maybe first in pre-snap motion once again. The passing game, again, not much to it. It's a lot of passes in the middle of the field. It's Kyle Shanahan putting his best players in the best positions to make plays after the catch. And that's why it's such a quarterback-friendly scheme. In 2021 and 2020, 54 and 65% of Jimmy Garoppolo's passing yards came after the catch. That was eighth and first among all quarterbacks with at least 100 attempts. During that same span, Garoppolo averaged 6.5 and 7.6 yards after the catch per completion. Led the NFL in both seasons in that department. And according to PFF, nearly 40% of Garoppolo's targeted routes were a combination of slants, crossing routes, and in routes. Like, the middle of the field, you know it's going to be part of this offense. And then this past season, nothing changed. Garoppolo, 7 yards after the catch per completion, once again led the league. Nearly 60% of his passing yards came after the catch. And then, of course, we had the quarterback change, right? Garoppolo went down. You know, Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy comes in. And the scheme didn't change much, and Purdy excelled in it. Purdy averaged 6.2 yards after the catch per completion. 706 of his 1,300, almost 1,400 passing yards came after the catch, and 26% of San Francisco's targets were to the middle of the field. That was the sixth highest rate in football. I mentioned how much that pre-snap motion helps. And you look at FTN Fantasy's directional tool, George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk in particular both saw 26 targets in the short middle portion of the field. That made up over 30% of Kittle's total targets and 23% of Ayuk's total targets. The one thing we did see, though, this past season was a drop in play action rate. In 2021, Garoppolo had a 27.5% play action dropback rate. That fell to 22% this past season. And Brock Purdy was pretty much right next to him at 22.9%. They were both 27th and 28th in the entire league in play action dropback rate, respectively. So that's something that I definitely noticed as well. But yeah, like, this offense hasn't changed. We know what to expect. The one thing I will say is the personnel, and I love it. Shanahan runs, you know, there's not many teams that run fullbacks anymore. Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers are definitely one of them. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they have the best fullback, and I think legitimately one of the 100 best players in football in Kyle Juszczyk. I mean, last year, the 49ers ran 21 personnel, which is two running backs, about 20% of the time. It was the third highest rate in the league. And shockingly, only the Dolphins ran 21 personnel more on first down than San Francisco did at 41%. Again, Juszczyk's role in this offense cannot be overstated. In 2021, second at the position in snaps, 21st among all running backs, not just fullbacks, in pass routes. This past season, second among fullbacks in snaps, ran 203 pass routes. Lined up in the slot 25% of the time and outside 19% of the time. He's such a versatile player. There was a play that I put in the article where they had him in pre-snap motion right before the ball was snapped, and they threw him the ball on at the flat. This is a fullback. You also can see different personnel with how they can use Debo and McCaffrey. Last season, Debo played almost 100 snaps from the backfield, and McCaffrey played 52 snaps at slot receiver once joining the team in week 7. So, yeah, like, there's a reason they were, I think, 2 or 3 for me in my pass-catching rankings for overall teams. McCaffrey, Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, Juszczyk. Juszczyk's part of that. He really is. He's not fantasy relevant. He's not going to score a lot of fantasy points, but he's a huge part of what this team does. This team does have a new DC, D'Amico Ryans, now the head coach in Houston. So the team hired Steve Wilks, who will probably give this team a little bit different looks. Steve Wilks has been a head coach, a DC, and a defensive backs coach throughout his career. He has an aggressive scheme. He calls a lot of blitzes, and especially from, you know, slot defensive backs and overall defensive backs, which is not what San Francisco has done. They don't blitz their defensive backs a ton. So that's going to be new if that does get implemented from by Steve Wilks. And overall, like, the 49ers have been slightly below league average in terms of blitz rate over the past couple of seasons. But with Carolina last season, Steve Wilks and the Panthers were top seven in blitz rate at over 29%. And then with Arizona and Cleveland in 2018 and 2019, those defenses ranked third and fifth in blitz rate at 38.5% and 38.2%. So I would expect more blitzes and maybe even more aggressive blitzes from the secondary from Steve Wilks and this defense. In terms of additions and subtractions, obviously, we'll have to see with Brock Purdy, right? Like, it definitely seems like Brock Purdy is going to start at quarterback after what he did last season. I mean, he just has to be healthy. But you look at what he did, and it's not like he was just like, okay, he's filling in admirably. He's doing what we're asking him to do for the offense. He was legitimately impressive. He made his debut in week 13, and from that point on, he was fifth in yards per pass attempt at 8.1, sixth in completion percentage at 68.3, first in passing touchdowns with 13, and fourth in fantasy points per dropback. He was really good. So as long as he's healthy, he'll start, but they still do have Trey Lance, who can obviously really give them that element that we saw to start the season with Kyle Shanahan drawing up a lot of quarterback power. And it's like, can you imagine the headache for defenses with all the pre-snap motion, having to worry about McCaffrey out of the backfield, Debo either in pre-snap motion or out wide. Ayuk took a huge step forward. Kittle's one of the best players in football. Then you add all that, plus the fact you add Trey Lance can just have design rushing attempts. Like, so we'll see. But again, as long as Brock Purdy is healthy, it looks like he will be a starting quarterback for San Francisco. But in terms of additions and subtractions elsewhere, I mean, they lost a couple pieces of the offensive line. Mike McGlinchey went to Denver. I believe they brought in Javon Hargrave at defensive tackle, which is obviously huge for them. But not much totally in terms of, you know, these huge moves from this team. It's still honestly one of the teams that top to bottom has one of the best rosters in football. Do you expect Brock Purdy to be as good as he was last season? No, but again, it's such a quarterback-friendly offense that he can be good enough for them to make a run. With all the pieces they have and how well he played, they have enough to make a run. So like for the NFC West, like Arizona and the Rams pretty much out of it at this point. It's going to come down to them. It's going to come down to San Fran and Seattle. I just think San Fran's just top to bottom, better team, better coach. Not by a whole lot. Pete Carroll's great, but I would lean Shanahan. So they should have a pretty good opportunity to win the division again, host some playoff games. Defense is obviously going to be great. Maybe not as good. D'Amico Ryans was just unbelievable, but the personnel is still really good. Steve Wilks has a huge track record of defenses. So, yeah, there's no reason this team shouldn't win 11, 12 games and contend for the NFC Championship, especially with how wide open the NFC is. I mean, you have the Eagles, you have the Cowboys, you have San Fran, you know, maybe Minnesota. The Lions will be better this season, but It's not a division that they really have to look over their shoulder too much. But yeah, I mean, elsewhere, like, this is a pretty easy team to break down because we've seen the same kind of scheme over and over again since 2017, right? I mean, there's not much that we expect different. The only thing you can maybe say is, okay, you have a full offseason of being able to utilize and scheme plays where McCaffrey and Debo are both in the backfield, or you know, they can get more creative with that. I will say with McCaffrey, though, like, he's obviously going to go in the first round of drafts and everything, but they clearly have a role for Elijah Mitchell. Remember, when McCaffrey joined the team, Elijah Mitchell was out. And then once McCaffrey was healthy and Elijah Mitchell was healthy, McCaffrey played four games alongside Elijah Mitchell once he joined the team. 10.5 carries, 4.5 receptions, and 15.2 fantasy points per game. Failed to reach 70% of the snaps in any game Mitchell played in. So, again, not that he'll be, like, outside the top five running backs, but maybe that's something that could keep him from finishing as the top running back in all of fantasy football. But yeah, I mean, honestly, this team is pretty cut and dry. Wide zone with McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell, getting Debo the ball in space. Kittle, he will block a lot. He did climb up to ninth in routes run among tight ends, I believe, last season. But just understand, you will have a lot of those like four target games from George Kittle. George Kittle had eight different games last season with less than 30 receiving yards. Now, nobody really remembers or cares because the way he ended the season was unbelievable. He scored so many touchdowns on the stretch. Also, though, 11 touchdowns and like 60 receptions. That's obviously coming back down. But yeah, I mean, it's a ton of yak, a lot of passes over the middle of the field, and pre-snap motion. And this should be, you know, one of the more efficient offenses in the league once again. And they have a lot of really good players. I mean, McCaffrey will be a top seven selection in fantasy drafts. Debo, like, I'd rather take Ayuk over Debo where Ayuk's going. Ayuk was clearly the best wide receiver last season. Debo, the usage was you know, a little bit alarming because the rush attempts went down a little bit once McCaffrey went there. But, like, he was last among qualified wide receivers in ADOT at, like, 4.5. He averaged 2.5 yards before the catch per reception. That was the lowest among all wide receivers, and it was pretty much where you see running backs in terms of yards before the catch per reception. So, and he's not getting, like, massive volume with Ayuk, Kittle, McCaffrey there. So if he's getting, like, decent to okay volume, but is getting everything, you know, 3 yards from the line of scrimmage, he's going to have to break these long plays. And yes, Debo Samuel is as good as any player in football, just overall, but especially after the catch. So he will break some huge plays, but you're really relying on that more. And for me, like, I'd rather take receivers with, you know, more consistent roles in terms of catching passes for full PPR. Yeah, I don't have anything else from this team. Again, go read the article. It was fun to write. I'm working on Seattle right now, finishing that up. Seattle's probably been my second favorite, maybe even first. They might have passed the Broncos in terms of my favorite team to write about in this series because of how different their offense has looked since Russell Wilson's been traded, how great Geno was, how Shane Waldron and Pete Carroll are adding just they're more aggressive in offense, more empty backfields, more passes on early downs. So that'll be up on Thursday, and we'll have the podcast soon after that. So again, keep it locked here on the FTN DataCast for all these team previews. We'll be going through them all as the season gets closer and closer, finishing up the NFC West, and we'll go back to the AFC, back to the NFC, so on and so forth until all 32 teams have been completed in both article and podcast form. So appreciate everyone listening as always. Adam Pfeiffer, FTN DataCast. Have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you next time with the Seattle Seahawks on the Coaching and Coordinating Series. Keep it locked. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the FTN DataCast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at A Pfeiffer24 and at LochnerNFL.